Well, I'm sure there have been times in our lives when we feel as nothing is making sense. Perhaps things are not working out, something's happened that is giving us strife, we're anxious, you didn't get the job you wanted, something like that. And we can simply feel like we are lost. There's no answers to the things, how we feel. We can question, we can stress, we can ponder, what do we do from here? We can grasp onto things to hope that they'll make tomorrow feel or seem like it'll be a better day. But sometimes nothing can be found. We can take counsel from friends to try and calm our hearts. We can listen to music or read books or watch movies to try and take our mind off the way that we are feeling. Perhaps we bury ourselves in our work and or in our family or something that we hope will give us purpose. And we cannot find it, but we still feel as if we are lost. This is one thing that every person in this world, without a doubt, has gone through or is perhaps going through. Feeling of lost. A time of questioning, wondering which way do we turn, what do we do from here? And in Mark 6, Jesus looks out to this crowd of people who have all of these problems in common. A crowd who have chased after him and his disciples, as you probably remember in the start of Mark, the crowds are always following Jesus and his disciples. It's a crowd who needed healing, who needed guidance, who needed comfort. A crowd who Jesus looks upon and he has compassion on. Because he sees them not as people who have it all together, not as people who are on top of the world, but he sees them as sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without purpose or without help or guidance or someone to provide for them. Someone to tell them where to go, what to do, how to think. Someone to protect them. These people were lost. They were looking for someone to heal them. They were looking for someone to help them, someone to show them the way. Is this not the cry of all of humanity? The cry of the world. All we have to do is turn on the news and you see people who would question everything. Young people these days, they finish school and they seem to have no purpose, no goal, no desire for anything. They spend half their time questioning and wondering, what am I going to do from here? What's the point of everything? Why am I sick? Why have I lost a loved one? The questions go on and go on. And the situation of many people in this life is that they are lost. Perhaps this is you this morning. Perhaps you were feeling lost, searching, questioning, seeking answers, seeking comfort, like the great crowd of people that follow Jesus around. Then know this to be true and take comfort in this. As obvious as it sounds, as cliche as it is, as many times as we've heard it, Jesus is the answer to what you've been looking for. You've probably heard that a million times, but it is true. He has compassion here, as we see in Mark 6, for his apostles, for his disciples, those people who follow him around, this great crowd of people who follow him purely for selfish means, they just want to be healed. Jesus has compassion on them. He has compassion on you. He has compassion on us. And it's truly remarkable in this section here in Mark 6 to see how Jesus acts upon his compassion, to see how he shows this compassion to those people who need it, those people who are needy, those people who are lost. Before we get to that, we see that the disciples have returned, the apostles have returned to Jesus. If you remember earlier on, Jesus had sent them out on their first missionary journey to go out to heal the sick, to cast demons out, to spread the good news of the gospel. And they were to take with them basically nothing. They had to rely on others and to rely on, to trust on God. And they've returned now and they are so excited. They're probably tired, they're probably hungry. But they're so full of adrenaline. They're excited because all the things that they had seen, the things that they had done. And they began to tell Jesus all these things that they had taught people. And how many people had been healed. They were amazed at this. But notice what Jesus says. He says to them this, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, they had no leisure even to eat." Now, I used to go to a church when I was young who were obsessed with numbers. They are obsessed with having the biggest church in the area. They are obsessed with having new people coming through the door every week. They would count how many people were in their church so they could compare it to the next week just to make sure that they get more every week. And it became idolatry because that's all that they spoke about. And that's all that they cared about. But look what Jesus says here. Does he ask them, how many people are following you now? Does he ask them, how many demons did you cast out? How many people have you healed? No, he doesn't. That's not Jesus' first concern. His concern was for his faithful apostles, for his own sheep, his flock, those who were doing the work of the kingdom. Jesus said, come and rest. He cares for his workers, for those whom he sent out. As we read earlier, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. That's the sort of shepherd Jesus is. And this is what he's telling his apostles to do. Come and rest. Let me restore your soul. Calm yourselves. This was a big trip that they were on. And Jesus shows his compassion first to his apostles. Come and rest. There are people here who have been and people who are involved in ministry. And I bet you, if you ask them, is it easy? No way. It's not easy. It's difficult. It's a spiritual warfare. It's hard. And it's draining. And Jesus says to his apostles here, come away. Rest. Don't feel like you have to keep going. Rest. God is in control. God will take care from now on. Jesus is acting as the good shepherd here. See, he sees his flock has been hard at work and he tells them, come and rest. And so off they go in a boat to a quiet place to have that rest. But we soon see that that was no good. I bet you we can ask Doug and Dill, when you sit down and you think, oh good, everything's done, you can have your rest, the phone will ring. You'll get a text message. Somebody knocks at the door. Sometimes there is no rest for those who do the work of the kingdom. And now, because of what the apostles had been proclaiming, what they had been doing, because all the people in the countryside had heard about this man Jesus and the miracles he'd been performing, this strange way they'd been speaking about this other kingdom, the kingdom of God, we see that these people in the villages around didn't just notice them and thought, oh, we'll see what they're doing. They ran. On foot, not just to be where they were, but to be in front of them so that the boat that Jesus and his apostles were on, when it landed, these people would be in front. They would be the first people in line to see Jesus, to hear what he had to say, to perhaps be touched by him and healed. They were so keen to get to Jesus, so desperate, so needy. If you remember all the different times we've looked at the people following after Jesus, they are desperate people. They want to be near him. They want to be healed. They want to see what he's going to say. What's he going to teach us about? This crowd, when Jesus looked out, must have looked so anxious and so scared and so puzzled. What will we do? What will Jesus do? What will the apostles say? You can just imagine the questions that are going through their minds. And here was a group of desperate people. When Jesus comes ashore, he looked out on them. In verse 34, we read, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. If you've ever driven through farm areas and you've seen sheep, perhaps sheep on the road, even if you honk your horn, all that will do is probably make them look at you. They are very simple animals. They need someone to help them. Where do I get my food? Where do I get my water from? If there's danger there, usually they cannot defend themselves. They are very simple animals. This is a very vivid image that Jesus is using here to describe this great crowd of people who have flocked to him. Now, he's not being mean, he's not being nasty, just calling them sheep. Oh, you're a bunch of dumb sheep. No, no, he has compassion on them because they're so lost. Because they desire someone to guide them, someone to help them. And there's so much urgency in this crowd running to him, running to where his boat is going to land. They just want to get there so they can meet this man, Jesus. He always uses these images in the Gospels of the things around him, in the world around him. You know, the grain, the mustard seed, sheep. He uses these things to help us understand, to describe a spiritual truth. And this one is perfect. Because Isaiah, the great prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament says, Isaiah 53, all we, speaking about all of humanity, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. And Jesus looks at this crowd of these desperate, needy people. And he sees sheep. They're not Christians. They're not true believers. Not yet, anyway. They're just running after Jesus. They look like sheep. They're turning their own ways. What do? Where do we go from here? So let me ask the obvious question. What does every lost sheep need?
A shepherd.
A shepherd first. They need to be found. And then they need a shepherd. So what does Jesus do? He gathers them to himself. He gathers them to himself and he becomes the shepherd for them. His disciples here, they can sit, they can listen. Now they've done their work. Jesus will take control. Do we see that Jesus just simply fed them with food? He made them happy and then he sent them on their way. Is that it? No, that's not it. And that's most definitely not the point of this section here. It's interesting that in all of our commentaries and all the books, especially the ones that I have, they all focus on Jesus simply feeding the 5,000 with food. And in all of our Bibles, even though it's not wrong, we have the little titles, the little headings above this section. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Now that's true. That's true. It's not wrong because that's what he does. But there's something that he does before that. He does something that is far greater before he offers them food, physical food to eat. Verse 34, let me read it. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now let's look at what he does for these sheep. He began to teach them many things. That's what Jesus did first. He began to teach them many things. Now I could give a Bible to my daughters and I could say, here you go. Have this Bible, and in it you will learn everything about the holiness of God, the sinfulness of man, and your need, and the way to be saved. But that wouldn't help them. Unless first I taught them. I taught them how to read. I taught them what to look for. I taught them what these words mean. And guide them through it. What this crowd needed was to be taught. What they needed was to hear the word of God to give them direction in their lives. Jesus is the good shepherd, as we see in John 10. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own know me. He is the shepherd that they need. And he gives them exactly what they need by teaching them what they need to know, even if they don't know that they need it. We miss so much when we skip over this part and we jump straight to Jesus feeding them with food. It's sad when people purely think Jesus is someone who came just to fill our bellies, just to heal our wounds, just to make us feel better. That is not the point of Jesus coming. That is not the point. In fact, if you remember back in Mark chapter 2, where Jesus met the man who was paralyzed, he was lowered down through the roof. Did Jesus heal him straight away? No, he didn't. He said, your sins are forgiven you. Jesus cared more about that man's spiritual state than he did his physical state. Even though he went on to heal him, the first thing he did was say, your sins are forgiven. Here in Mark 6, it's more important for these lost sheep to be fed spiritually than it is for them to be fed physically. There's a huge difference. Remember what Jesus said to Satan, who tried to tempt him when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted. And Satan's like, here you go, you're hungry. Turn these stones, you know, turn them into bread, eat it. And Jesus looked at him and he said, it is written, quoting from the Old Testament, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus was giving these people, this crowd, who were so desperate, who were so needy, who were so anxious, who were so worried, who were perhaps in pain, he was giving them what they needed, and they didn't recognize it. So this is an amazing part of the gospel here. And it's so often skipped over. When we go through times of great anxiety ourselves, times of trouble, when we are puzzled, when we don't know why things happen the way that they happen, which I'm sure for all of us is quite often, we seek for answers or for purpose. And we ask, you know, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? And it's usually very rare these days that the word of God is used to give direction, to give us direction, to give us guidance. And yet, it's exactly what Jesus uses. It's exactly what these people needed. So Jesus becomes the shepherd of these sheep. And the first thing he does to comfort them is to tell them about God. To tell them about the kingdom of God. It's to tell them about his holiness. To tell them about his love and his grace and his compassion. And how they just have to trust in him and look to him. That's how Jesus was feeding them. That's how Jesus was helping them before he even thought about giving them food. He was building them up spiritually. So that even when we or when they go through times when we feel lost, if we look to God, we still have purpose. We don't have to question. Even when they question, or when we question, or when we feel like we are struggling, there will always be something for us to have our eyes fixed on. That's what Jesus was giving them. The kingdom of God. Seek that first. As we sang, you know, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. That's what Jesus is saying to these people. Okay, they're anxious. Okay, they're looking for healing. They're looking to be blessed. They're looking for what Jesus is going to do. And Jesus is saying, look to God. Focus on God. Desire him above other things. Desire him above the food. Do that first. And they all sat and they listened to Jesus. No one seemed to care about eating real food. That was until the disciples realized it's getting late. And Jesus taught them until it became late in the evening. And now we see that the disciples, the apostles, became worried. They're in this desolate place. What will we do? There's no shops, there's no food. And so Jesus says, they said, should we send them away to get their own food? And Jesus says, you feed them. You feed them. Now the apostles, they should have known that Jesus had something planned. You know, they had just been on their own journey, ministering and healing and casting out demons, all sorts of things by the power of God. And now they're questioning and they're wondering. They're acting like sheep themselves. They're feeling a little bit lost. You know, a crowd of over 5,000 people, this puzzles them. How are we going to feed them? And they ask the question, shall we go buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? A denarii is about a day's wage. You work 200 days and use all that money to buy food for 5,000 people. Go on. I think, what's he talking about? If only the disciples had been listening more to what Jesus was saying. Stop worrying about the physical things. The disciples were acting just like the crowd. And so Jesus says to them, how many loaves do you have? They said, 5 and 2 fish. And so he tells everybody to sit down in groups. It's vast, vast crowd of people. Over 5,000 it would have been. And we count 5,000 because of the men. They do not count the women and the children. So over 5,000 people. And Jesus, in front of everybody, he takes his bread and he blesses it. He gives thanks. And he hands it out to the first group. And then he hands it out to the next group and the next group and the next group and the next group. And the fish, he does the same. And it keeps going. So much so that it fills them all up and they are satisfied. And at the end we read, they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. It does not include the women, it does not include the children as well. He fed them so much by instantly creating on the spot more food, providing for them with such abundance that overflowed. Not only did Jesus provide for them spiritually, but he also provided for them physically. But we must remember this. A truly good shepherd does not just care for his sheep by giving them what they want. Food, straight away. But the good shepherd, Jesus, cares for his sheep by giving them what they need first. First, Jesus fed them spiritually. First, he looked at this crowd and he said, you need to hear about the gospel. If you are struggling, if you are in pain, if you're feeling anxious, Jesus is saying, run to God. Run to the scriptures. Read the Psalms if you're in pain. Read over the gospels. Cry out to him.
Meditate.
That's right. Look to God. Then all other things will be added unto you. This is exactly what Jesus does for these people here. And it's exactly what he will do for us too. Let's bow, let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for this account in Mark. We thank you that not only did our Lord Jesus perform a wonderful miracle in feeding so many people from so little, but he fed them first spiritually, and this is something that we need. We need this above all else, above the food that we eat, above the things that we have, above the things that we do. We need to be fed spiritually, and we need to grow spiritually. And so we pray now that as we are exactly like that crowd of needy people, that we will look to you, that we will trust in you, that we will long to be in your presence. Father, we pray that you'll help us greatly. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.